Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Faith Focused Discipleship Podcast. My name is Kevin Rognes, and I'm the Discipleship Director here at Faith Covenant. If you have any questions or comments, please email me. My email address is listed in the show notes. And if you want us to cover any new topics, let me know, because I'm always looking for ideas about what to cover on the podcast. And as always, make sure you subscribe to make sure you don't miss anything. Leave us a review to let us know how we're doing, etc., etc. You know the drill. Probably, hopefully.
All the fun things.
Maybe they don't. Anyway, I'm joined here by Con Nagy, our worship director. Hello, Con.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you back.
It is.
We've done this a couple of times where Con and I just crack open the Bible and just start reading and see what happens. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're doing again today.
Yeah.
Because I'm reading through Isaiah just in my personal devotions right now. And I was reading Isaiah 30 a couple nights ago and was just really struck by a couple of things. And I was like, this will be a fun one to do on the podcast with Con. So that's what we're doing. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for thinking of me. Yeah,
you're like, fun. What, halfway through a master's degree? So you're like almost there?
Yeah,
halfway further?
Further away.
Okay.
Yeah. Many
well,
more years.
Well, he's getting there. This is good practice for him.
It's a process. No, it's
all right. Good. So I'm just going to go ahead and read Isaiah 30 verses 18 through 26. And just to give a little bit of context before we get there, at this point in Israelite history, Israel, the ancient Israel, not current modern day Israel, Israel had had a civil war and had split into two nations. And so the two nations were Israel in the north and Judah in the south. And so in this passage, the prophet Isaiah is addressing Judah in the south. And leading up to what I'm about to read, Isaiah was kind of going after Judah and the leadership of Judah for relying on a military alliance with Egypt to fight an Assyrian enemy. Assyria was kind of the empire that was kind of the big bully in the neighborhood. And so Isaiah was just right before this, just finished going after Judah and saying, you're being foolish by relying on Egypt for assistance, for military assistance and whatnot. You should be relying on God. So Israel is, or so Isaiah is judging Judah for all that. And that leads into what I'm about to read with verse 18 through 26. So it says, therefore, after all of this stuff, after all this judgment against Judah, therefore, the Lord is waiting to show you mercy and is rising up to show you compassion, for the Lord is a just God. All who wait patiently for him are happy. For people will live on Zion in Jerusalem. You will never weep again. He will show favor to you at the sound of your outcry. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. The Lord will give you meager bread and water during oppression, but your teacher will not hide any longer. Your eyes will see your teacher, and whenever you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear his command behind you. This is the way, walk in it. Then you will defile your silver-plated idols and your gold-plated images. You will throw them away like menstrual cloths and call them filth. Then he will send rain for your seed and that you have sown in the ground, and the food, the produce of the ground, will be rich and plentiful. On that day, your cattle will graze in open pastures. The oxen and donkeys that work the ground will eat salted fodder scattered with winnowing shovel and fork. Streams flowing with water will be on every high mountain and every raised hill on the day of great slaughter when the towers fall. The moonlight will be bright as the sunlight, and the sunlight will be seven times brighter, like the light of 7 days, on the day that the Lord bandages his people's injuries and heals the wounds he inflicted. So there's a lot going on in there. What stands out to you right off the bat?
I got to get a joke out of the way first. Didn't know this is the way was explicitly in scripture. So a little Mandalorian reference for anyone who follows that.
Yeah, I
oh, you don't?
No.
Oh, sorry. You like Star Wars?
I do like Star Wars. I don't have Disney Plus, so I haven't seen any of the Star Wars series.
That's fair.
I'm a bad Star Wars fan.
That's all right.
Yeah.
I'd probably say I am too. I just thought that when I saw it, I was like, oh, that's kind of funny.
Okay. So that's what Con got out of it.
We're done there. Thanks for watching. No, I thought that I just had to get that out of the way because I was like, oh. But I think I was really noticing verse 23 on, well, I guess kind of throughout the whole thing, but I mean, there's so much about like the seed and the ground and the day and night. And it makes me think it just in our contemporary context, those things might not feel the same as it would have been for the people who first read this or heard this. Mm. And so, I don't know, I was just thinking about, I was trying to put myself in a posture of like, when we read scripture, I think we need to think about that. And I think you did a good job saying that, of like giving the background about Assyria and Egypt and these pieces of, and Egypt is a country now even, but it's like, It's not the same as what, you know, there's just pieces to think about when we read the Bible. And I think, 23, talking about like the rain for the seed that you'll sow and it'll make you rich and plentiful. It's like, oh, that's such a beautiful image of God. But I think it's different for the original audience than it might be for us.
Yeah.
Well, and I guess there, you know, if you're a farmer listening, it's probably different. I'm not a farmer, but I don't know.
You're not a farmer?
No.
I'm shocked.
That is a job I never wanted to do. A lot of respect for it, but no, thank you. And so I think it's just interesting. Like that was one thing that stuck out immediately. It was just like kind of our context of when we come to certain passages.
Yeah. Well, that's important to remember because like Isaiah is writing about and making kind of promises to a very specific time and place.
Hmm.
It's important that we don't necessarily look at these promises and apply them exactly as they are written to our context today. That doesn't mean we don't learn from them, but I think what we learn is more about the character of God. So like in verse 18, for example, therefore the Lord is waiting to show you mercy and is rising to show you compassion. That's a beautiful promise, and that's really amazing. We have to remember that Isaiah is specifically talking to the nation of Judah at the time.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it doesn't apply to us in any way, because that same God is still has that same character of a God who is waiting to show mercy to people who return to him. And like that's the part that was really striking to me the other night when I was reading this, and just that God is just waiting. God wants to do it. Like, God is like, come on, turn around to me, turn around. Like, I'm ready to do this. I want to do this. I have mercy and compassion for you. Just turn back to me. Like, I'm not asking for much. Like, God is eagerly awaiting that. And that just really said something to me about the character of God. And then it was interesting because then, so I read this two nights ago. And then yesterday I was in a conversation with a woman who is, dealing with some things with an adult child who is not walking in the faith anymore in the same way. And I was able to share this with her and be like, God is waiting for your child to kind of turn back, waiting to show that mercy. But then like, conversely, I was like, ooh, when have I ever been this way? When I've been in conflict with someone, when have I just been eagerly awaiting the chance to show them mercy?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great
question. I was like, I am not like God in that respect. And that's challenging, and it should be.
Yeah, that's really good. Well, and that makes me think too, the Lord waits. And that makes me think of like the prodigal son passage of, you know, so many people focus on the son who leaves. And that's a part of the story, obviously. But I think, you know, many of us, and I'll just speak for myself. I don't want to say anyone else. But I know for me, like, I definitely more so relate to the son who stayed.
Same.
And then I'm like, you know, I've a little more about my story. Like, I've been a Christian for most of my life. Never really ran away from God or anything like that. But I think in my pride, I'm like, oh no, like, I'm that brother.
Yeah.
That's like, I'm not actually happy for whatever. And so it's really interesting. I appreciate that. Like, God is waiting for you. But I do appreciate what you're saying there. This wasn't written to Con and Cavan in 2025. this was a long time ago and for specific people. And I think that's a good thing to pull out sometimes. You know, the Bible, what do people say? It wasn't written to
us,
you.
But it's written for us.
Right. Yeah. And so I think that's a good reminder, you know, in our age of social media bios with Bible verses and stuff like that. I'm not saying that's wrong all the time.
Yeah.
It's for sure not. But there is significance in, you know, there's a lot before this in the story. There's a lot after this in the story. We just kind of grabbed this section. But yeah, I think it's really important to have an open mind to those pieces as we come to the text. And there is stuff for us to take away. And I took in verse 19, I bracketed, you shall weep no more. And I was just I've just been feeling that with some stuff in life right now. I'm like, oh, that's encouraging to me right now. That was not written for Khan in 2025, but I think I can still be encouraged by that too.
Yeah. And like, you know, you will weep no more. That's written about a specific situation, but it's also, that's echoed throughout scripture. You know, we see that in Revelation, you know, when Jesus returns and restores all things, then we will weep no more. Beautiful. So, I mean, Isaiah was writing this about a specific circumstance for Judah, but it's repeated by other biblical writers for all of us. And so like, again, it's written to a specific time and place, but it's revealing the character of a God who is consistent throughout time, regardless of that time or place.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, and there's there's so much encouragement in that.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead. No, you.
Okay. I was going to say the verse 22 talking
that's
about.
I was going to go.
Oh, there we go. Nice. Nice. We're walking in the Spirit.
We did not plan that.
No, that was nice. I'm glad. 22, you will not defile your silver covered idols or your gold.
You will defile them.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I was just so struck by that with, I know for me, like for such a long time, idols, when I read the Bible, it was like, you know, like it says here, like silver plated or, you know, I'm like in my head, I'm like a statue or, you know, a god of some sort. And I've been really.
Cause contextually, that's what they did.
For sure.
That's what they were. Mm-hmm. You know, their idols were actually objects that they.
Yeah.
Carried around with them and bowed down to.
Totally.
Which seems insane to me, but.
Yeah. Right.
Different culture.
Totally. And I think so much for us too, it's like maybe our phones. Maybe our politics. You know, there's so many pieces of idolatry. Oh, wow. And it's interesting to see these things that were prevalent then are still prevalent now. I was just struck by like the freedom in that of like you will defile these things, but that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Like we want to separate ourselves from that.
Yeah.
What were you thinking about that?
Well, and I was thinking because these idols that are made of, you know, they're gold or silver plated, whatever, they're just things that people made and yet people worshiped them. When we think of idols in the ancient sense, it makes it so obvious how ridiculous it is. Like, and yes, they probably intended that as like, oh, this is a representation or a symbol of this deity, like God of rain or God of sun or God of whatever. They weren't, the object that they were bowing down to was a stand-in for something else. But still, it's like it doesn't so much show up in this passage, but elsewhere it's like, you're worshiping these things you created, like these things that you mastered, like say this lamp. Let's pretend I made this lamp. If I start bowing down to this lamp, that is so stupid because this lamp obviously has no power because I put it together. I did that. I created this lamp. But that's how stupid idolatry is. Like today, if, you know, I could make Taylor Swift an idol. I didn't make her, but like I could consume her music or her music videos or go to her tour or whatever. Those are human creations. We have made that, or we have made a political system. It's our creation, but we let it have power over us.
Yeah.
When we think of idolatry in those terms, you start to realize how stupid idolatry is, and yet we get trapped in it.
Yeah. And that makes me think of like idol worship, you know, worship, maybe being like ascribing ultimate value or worth to something. And I think, I try to bring this up a lot, but just the idea that I'm the worship director, but the idea that we're going to be worshiping something.
Yes.
And God would be obviously the best option. But I think, regardless of our circumstance, we're going to be worshiping something. So what will that be?
Yeah. Are we going to be intentional about it?
And our idols are easy to worship a lot of the time. There's a song, Repentance by Gable Price.
Yep.
Yeah. And he says like, I worship my idols and they betrayed me. And it's like, oh, like how often does that happen? Where we're like, you know, we're pushing into something so hard and maybe even with okay intentions, maybe not always, but then those things turn their backs on us. And it's like, oh, like that moment of like that hurt. But also like, how stupid am I for falling into this?
And you can make idols out of good things that are gifts from God.
Yeah, that's real.
Like you, as someone who's married, you can make your marriage or your wife an idol. You know, Tori is a great blessing to you. Your marriage is a great blessing to you.
Yeah.
But you can incorrectly order your love for Tori and your marriage
yeah.
over love for God. And that's a problem. Mm-hmm. Conversely, like, I really enjoy my singleness most of the time. I can make that, I have made that an idol yeah. at different points in my life and put hope in that.
Mm.
And that's not healthy. Mm. You know, I need to put my faith primarily and my hope primarily in God.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you can make anything, you can corrupt anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If humans do anything well, it's corruption. Huzzah.
Well, I think that's so true. And I think, like, even, you know, in our Sunday services right now, we went through Genesis, we're going through Exodus. And I remember when I was in youth group, Pete Gangle.
Like 20 days ago?
Yeah.
I always make fun of confirming young.
It's more recent maybe for a some mean. Of us than for others, but that's okay. But I remember Pete Gangle was the small group leader. Pete and my dad were my small group leaders. I think it was my junior or senior year of high school. And we're going through Exodus and somewhere in the Pentateuch. And I remember I said, I was like, man, like the Israelites, like how are they not seeing this? You know, like God's with them in like the fire by night and the cloud, by, you know, all these things. And he gave them manna for food and he got water from the rock, you know, all these pieces. And I remember this guy, Pete, shout out Pete, was like, he's like, yeah. Like, I hear you. But like, we do that all mm-hmm. the time too. And I think that relates here with like still the people of Israel, but like it's so easy because it does seem kind of ridiculous in some ways to, oh, look what they've done. But man, we're the exact same. We fall into the same thing.
It's really easy to dunk on people in the in the past.
Yes.
Like, we have the benefit of hindsight and we see how things went wrong and all the consequences. In 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, people are going to look back at us in this moment and be like, what a bunch of idiots. Like, why were they idolizing this? Like, why were they pursuing that? Like,
yeah.
And it's going to be so obvious to them. And I mean, sometimes it's obvious to me, like the things I'm doing around in my life, but like just thinking ahead and how history will view our current moment. It's like, there's obvious things to learn from. And thankfully, you know, hopefully people in the future will learn from what we're doing. But
yeah,
who knows?
Yeah.
I also love this language of God as a teacher.
Mm.
The teacher will not hide any longer. Your eyes will see your teacher.
Mm.
And that's such beautiful imagery, but it's also dependent on us being willing to be taught, on us being willing to be a student. And it's easy to be like, oh, I've grown up in the church, for those of us who have grown up in the church, to think, oh, I've learned a lot. I know this stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't need to refresh this. It's like, no, you do. You need a teacher. You always need to be learning. And
yeah,
it's, you got to have some humility for that.
Mm. Yeah, that's beautiful. I kind of missed that the first time we were going through. Yeah, your teacher will not hide himself anymore.
Mm. I'm also just struck too by kind of verses 23 through 26. All this imagery of, you know, the land being super productive and super fruitful and like streams flowing from every mountain. And, you know, water is not necessarily something that's super abundant in the land of Judah, even today. Yeah. Like, just geographically, there's not a lot. Because just the way, there's a lot of moisture that comes in on the western side of what is modern day Israel, but it dumps a lot of its moisture on the western side. And by the time it gets up into the region where Judah is, higher up in the mountains kind of block the moisture from coming in any further.
Mm.
And so just, you know, I have the benefit of knowing that because I've been there. And so this imagery of, you know, streams still flowing despite the geography and the weather patterns enough so that there's, you know, a ton of agriculture and cattle that are grazing on this bountiful land now. It's a transformational image. It's not just like, oh, things are back to normal. It's no, this is a new normal. Yeah. This is beyond what the current known reality is. And so that just the transformative power of God in verses 23 through 26 is just really, really striking.
Yeah, on every lofty mountain in 25, mine says that. And every high hill, there will be brooks. And I think this is on topic, off topic. I think it makes me think of, as a staff, I led us through Psalm 130 on Tuesday. And I was thinking, it's kind of a recap of of like the people of Israel and the story specifically a little before this, kind of near Exodus. And I was thinking, like, to me, that psalm was stuck out to me this week because it's like, you know, I'm reading through these people, you know, it's talking about Moses, and most people know that story. And then like people like Phineas, like, okay, a little less known, but it stuck out to me this week of, and I think it relates well with this, of like, when you know the Bible, like more of the Bible starts to connect and make sense. And I want to say this, like, this has been like totally on my heart recently. You've been through seminary, you have an MDiv. I'm in seminary right now, but that does not mean that you only can get biblical knowledge through seminary or through a school or through your church. I've been doing the Bible.
I've learned more about the Bible just in my own personal reading than I did in seminary. Not that I didn't learn a lot in seminary.
Yeah, for sure.
But like the more profound insights and knowledge and God changing my heart moments have been not in seminary.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been going the Bible in a year with Father Mike Schmitz on Spotify. And like, he's a Catholic priest, and we're not Catholic. But it's so good. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
I'm shaking. There's a lot to think
about. It's Reformation Sunday this Sunday, so you can think about that.
Man, I need some water.
But I think like there are so many pieces that I've learned from Father Mike just on his podcast. And then like in seminary, it's like, oh, here's that. And I knew that because of reading or listening to the Bible. That was free, right? like there's no, seminary is so good. Life groups are so good. Being in community like this is so good. But there's something about, like, you can do stuff on your own, too, and get this knowledge on your own. That doesn't mean you'll know everything by any means, and we don't, obviously. But there's so much to be seen in this. And I think, too, even another example I thought of with 23 through 26 was, like, I got my hair cut yesterday, and... The guy in there is talking, and he's like, yeah, I came, how long have you been in Burnsville, blah, 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 or I work here. He's like, well, I came to Burnsville in like 1993. And he's like, yeah, like, I really like Minnesota, but I've never been anywhere else. And I was like, and I know it's a privilege to travel and all those things. I don't want to take that for granted. But I think like what you're saying about like Israel and like knowing these things, like when we get out to know stuff, like you see things differently sometimes. And I think same thing with reading the Bible. Like once we know more about the Bible, we see things differently.
Absolutely.
And if you only ever live in Burnsville, you probably know Burnsville really well, but even you might not know Bloomington across the river, you know? And like, there's things to be known about. Well,
Bloomington's a great place. I live there.
That is true.
Yeah. We have coffee shops.
That's it.
And Domino's, I think.
I would assume so. The biggest mall in the country is there. So you
just
that's true.
We have the Mall of America. And they're getting a Chicago Giordano's.
Oh.
Chicago deep dish. They're getting in that apparently at the mall.
Love that. It's good to know.
Neither here nor there. Welcome to the podcast. We talk about upcoming restaurants at the Mall of America. I'm sure that's exactly what everybody wants to hear.
Yes.
I also just kind of want to note, like, sometimes it's really good to read scripture in different translations. Mm-hmm. So what I read today was the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible. Mm. And I just want to kind of go through just even the first verse, just to kind of show how different translations phrase things. Because it's not that one word or phrasing is more biblically accurate to the Greek or to the Hebrew in this case. It's just different words bring out different nuances, I think, of God's character. So the CSB says, therefore, the Lord is waiting to show you mercy and is rising up to show you compassion, for the Lord is a just God. All who wait patiently for him are happy. Mm. The NIV, the New International Version, phrases it as, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. And so it's just slightly different words that are used. So mercy versus gracious, very similar concepts. And it's not that one word is better than the other, but it's just kind of interesting to see sometimes how different words evoke different responses, and yet different words reveal just different nuances of God's character, I think.
Yeah.
What translation is that one?
I've got the NRSV, it's the New Revised Standard Version. It says, therefore, the Lord waits to be gracious to you. So gracious is kind of the word there. And therefore, he will rise up to show mercy to you. So mercy instead of compassion.
Yeah.
For the Lord's a God of justice, and same as the NIV.
Yeah.
No, I think it's really important.
And that's interesting because the CSB and the NRSV phrased it as the Lord waits to show this. Mm. And in the NIV, it's the Lord longs to be gracious. And so both are very similar, but there's subtle differences to it. Because like with the word wait, it just kind of feels like, okay, God's patiently biding his time for that right opportunity, for the moment where the people turn back to him. And in the NIV, where it says God longs, I think that expresses the emotional component of it. Like, God is just so ready and eager to do this. And so, like, there's the biding time for this moment, but also this emotional level of, like, just such eagerness to show compassion. Which, again, is so striking, because when have I ever done that? Yeah, like, that's convicting. That's the way that God has convicted me today.
Yeah. Can I read just the study notes at the bottom? This is a study Bible. This is free if you buy the Bible, because it's just there. This is not my thoughts. It's just so good, though. Verse 18, it says, because the Lord is a God of justice, his desire to save must wait until Jerusalem has been transformed by judgment. Mm-hmm. And so almost like we know what's going to happen. If you read ahead, you know, Isaiah knows what's going to happen. God obviously knows what's going to happen. But yeah, the Lord, because of his justice, he's waiting. And then that transformation is painful, but it comes through judgment sometimes. Yeah.
When I think it's the next chapter, I think Isaiah 31, I was reading that last night, and it says somewhere in there, like, because God is wise, God will bring disaster, which is kind of a hard word to hear.
Yeah.
You know, God's wisdom involves bringing disaster sometimes. That's not an easy thing to hear. We don't like that.
Yeah.
But it's true. That's what the Bible says. And, you know, that's how God helps us and brings us back to him.
Yeah.
Cheerful thought.
Yeah.
Anything else that jumps out to you about what we read today?
I don't have a great closing thought. I just think it's very... even just what we just did, 18 through 26, it wasn't a lot. It wasn't too deep, but just two people digging into the word, seeing what sticks out. And I've learned a lot from this. And so, yeah, just gracious and grateful for the moment we had here.
Yeah. And part of why we do this, I mean, and we say this all the time, is that this is how easy discipleship can be, is just cracking open the Bible and reading together. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, if you have no more thoughts and I have no more thoughts, I'll leave you to your thoughts. So thank you for watching or for listening. Have a wonderful and blessed day.